this morning I'm going to be reading from, we're going to start in Colossians is where I'm going to be going, but before I get there, I want to talk to us a little bit about our birth, what our birth means. No matter where you were born, that's where you live from. But I have a confession to make. I was born in California. I can't change anything about that. Well, forgive me for that. I wasn't born in Texas. I got here as quick as I could. But in spite of the fact that I've lived in Texas for 41 years now, majority of my life, when I have to show ID, when I need to get a social, when I have to get a, any information, that I go to my birth certificate, it says I was born in California. And I can't do anything about that or change that. In fact, my dad was in the Air Force, so he really didn't, my parents didn't have a whole lot to say where I was born. They just went where the government told them to go, and that's where I was born. I think in all of us here, whether we're born in Texas, born some other state, born in another country, we had nothing to do with that. We weren't consulted. We weren't born in the United States because we're better than somebody who was born in another country. Because we can all admit there are countries in this world that are a lot worse places to be born than the United States. Regardless of where you are in the U.S., there's a lot worse places to be born. You know, the wars going on in Syria, Ethiopia, places like that around the world. You're not better than those people. You weren't born better than them. You weren't judged because you haven't been born yet. There was nothing you had done to justify being born in America versus being born in Ethiopia or Moldova or any place else in the world. It was simply a fact. Whether that's a good or bad fact, it is a fact. You did nothing to make that happen. That's what I want. I'm emphasizing that point. I'm really pressing that point. Because that's something that all 7 billion people on earth have. No input on where they were born. No input about the circumstances of their birth. And that's the same thing with our spiritual birth, our spiritual life. That everybody born, whether or not you got issued a birth certificate, if you live in one of those countries that don't even do birth certificates, you've got a second, I'll call it birth certificate. You've got a spiritual birth certificate, and that birth certificate has your citizenship as the kingdom of darkness. Or the power of darkness. And much like your human birth certificate that you had no input on, it's not a judgment, it's not anything to do with you, it's simply a matter of your birth into the human race. It's not a judgment that I'm making. I'm not calling you a bad person. The Bible's not calling you a bad person. It's simply stating a fact that you're born in this state. I say that because reading in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, that's the verse I'm going to start with today. He, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son in love. That word power, there's many words that are translated as power. This one is actually, I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek, exousia. It can mean several things, but one of the things in this particular instance, what it's talking about is an authority, a power, a delegated power. It could be delegated governmental power. It could be unbridled, arbitrary power. And that's basically what the kingdom of darkness is. It's unbridled, arbitrary power that we're all subject to. And so we have to understand that we are all in need of this translation or conveyance. The New King James says conveyed into the kingdom of His dear love. The King James Version calls it translated. Other versions call it transferred. It's basically your need to be moved. You need your citizenship moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And it's by God's power that this is done. And see, how do we fall into this power? It's not, people say, oh, well, I'm a good person. I haven't done anything that bad, so I'm clearly not under the control of the kingdom of the power of darkness. But you are. As I said, that was where you were. That was the moment you were born. When you took your first breath, you were part of the kingdom of darkness. And it doesn't matter that, oh, well, but my parents are both Christians. You know, I've heard a saying before, I wish I could remember to give credit to who where I heard this, but God doesn't have any grandchildren. We all have to make that decision for ourselves to become His child. He gives us the authority. In John, it tells us He's given us the power and the ability to become children of God. We don't get to transfer that on to our kids and they become grandchildren of God. We all have to individually become children of God for ourselves. And it has to be done. It has to be something you proactively do. If you want to change your citizenship on earth, usually You have to go through a process when you go to a new country. There's a process. You have to proactively do something. You have to go to a consulate. You have to go tell them, I want to become part of this new country. I want to change my citizenship. Likewise, you want to change your citizenship. You realize that you're under the control of the power of darkness. You want to change it. There's something that you need to do. And it's real simple. It's not a real complicated thing, unlike moving to a new country. It's real simple. You just have to come to the realization that you need this, that you need this conveyance, you need this transfer, you need to be translated out of the power of darkness, and you come and accept that Jesus has made it possible. Through his gift, through his death, burial, and resurrection, you have the ability to change your eternal citizenship from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so people like to think, oh, well, I'm... There's a lot of times people, they hesitate to make that change. One of two things. They either think they're too good or they're too bad for that transformation, for God to do this, for Jesus' power to work for them. They're either too good, they don't need it, or they're too bad, it'll never work. In whichever case it is, you're wrong. I don't mean to be so blunt about it. I usually try to be more sugarcoat, but there's nothing to sugarcoat here. Whether you think you're too good for Jesus, that you don't need him, or you think you're too bad, both of you are wrong. Because there's nothing that you've done that can separate you from him, that he can't reach you. But let's talk about you think you're good. Well, say, I'm not as bad as the next guy. Depends who the next guy is. I'm good enough on my own. I try to be a good person. You hear people say that. I try to be a good person. Or this one, this is one of the ones that they think this is the Achilles heel for Christianity. It's like, well, at least I'm not a hypocrite like those Christians. I don't need to go to church and be like them. I've got some bad news for you. God doesn't say, well, you're good enough. He doesn't have a balance like that. He's not judging you on the next guy in line. When you get to heaven, you're not hoping, yeah, really, I hope I got Hitler behind me because I want to make sure I'm being judged in comparison to him. As long as I've got a really bad guy in line behind me, then I'll be okay. No, that's not how he's grading you either. And you know what? He's not judging you based on us Christians either. He doesn't use us Christians as the standard. God's not looking out at Christians and going, oh, here's brother so-and-so. He's the standard that I'm going to judge people by. There's brother. Definitely not going to use me. I promise you that. There's only one standard that he has, and that's Jesus. Have you lived up to Jesus' standard? If not, then you need Jesus. Jesus was perfect. Are you perfect? The Ten Commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Have you done that? Have you had any other gods before me? Have you done that? We're just two into the top 10. We get past those, we got 600 and something laws in the Old Testament. There's all kinds of rules. You think you want to try following the rules, or do you want to follow the one who followed all the rules? That's our choice. Because none of us are righteous. So Paul tells us this. In Romans, we see it. Romans 3:23, Paul lays this out. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He's actually quoting the Old Testament there. There's none righteous. No, not none. And some people will say, but I'm part of this religion or that religion. I go to this church, or I tithe, or I go here. I've been in the mission field for this group or that group. Those are all great things. You should read your Bible. You should tithe. You should go to the mission field. You should give service to God, whatever he's called you to do. I'm not asking for your money or to go to the mission field or anything from this pulpit right now. I'm telling you, whatever God's told you to do, you need to do that. That's a good thing. But first and foremost is, what have you done with the person of Jesus? Have you accepted him? Or are you trying to bring what the Bible calls another place, filthy rags, your filthy rags of righteousness, and lay it in front of God as your acceptance? But if you think, well, I know I'm not good enough. I'm so bad. I've messed it up. I've done terrible things. Paul, the man who wrote a good chunk of our New Testament, most of the books in the New Testament, he persecuted and killed Christians. He oversaw the stoning of Stephen. Have you done anything that bad? Don't raise your hand. I'm not asking for volunteers. But have you done anything that, have you oversaw the killing of other Christians? Even that God was able to work with. Once Paul saw what he had done and recognized how bad he was, he realized he needed a Savior. That's the only requirement. You have to realize you need him. Once you do that, then your past, your whatever sins you've committed, they don't matter. He's taking care of that. And the ones we continue to fumble along the way, he'll take care of those as well. He's faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins. So we need to be about that. We need to understand that. We need to convey that to people. And it's not, well, you have to go home and get cleaned up and stop doing this and stop doing that and start reading the Bible and then come back and you can get saved. Salvation is available today, right now, before we eat. If you haven't been saved yet, we can get that done today. It's available to everyone. It's free gift. It's free to you. It costs God Jesus. It cost him his only begotten son. But for you, it's a free gift. You just accept it. Admit you need it. That's the first requirement, that you have to understand your need for it. And then you can step into that. But then there, like most of us in this room, we've made that decision. We've come to Jesus. We've been sitting there as I've been talking for the last 10 minutes or so, nodding, amen, that's right. But what about us? I want to back up in Colossians chapter 1. I want to start with verse 9. Colossians 1:9 reads, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul's talking about to this church in Colossae. He's heard good things about them. They're moving forward. It's a church that's going in the right direction. Unlike a lot of the churches, he doesn't have a lot of correction for the church at Colossae. He has some doctrinal things, but they're doing pretty good compared to the Corinthian church or some of the ones you read about, the Galatian church. Colossae's doing pretty good here. "I've heard about you. I continue to pray for you." Starting with, be prayed with, filled with the knowledge of him. And it's not just knowledge. It's not just getting that knowledge or wisdom. I've heard the old story, you know, knowledge is knowing a tomato's a fruit. Wisdom is knowing a tomato doesn't go in a fruit salad. Applying that wisdom is making a fruit salad for your neighbor who wants one or needs one. That's what we're to be about. Not just getting that knowledge, not just making it wisdom, but that wisdom needs to be applied. It needs to be making some difference, not in your life, but in someone else's life. That's why he's changed us. That's why he's called you to a service. And we're all called to a service. Not just Lewis and me, Mary and Gloria who sing. It's not just the people you see up here. Everybody is called to do something. There's a mission that you are uniquely equipped for, that God set you aside for, and you need to be about that. And the first step in that is his knowledge. Being filled with his knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. His knowledge of his will. What is his will for things? And you know, I've read the Bible through several times, and I never found a passage that said, "And Scott, you shall return to the church in which you were called and become a preacher." That was never revealed in Scripture to me. But as I read Scripture, and as I prayed, and as I talked with mentors and people around me, it became clear that's what he was calling me to do. So if you're reading it looking for the verse that says, "You shall do thus and so," you're probably not going to find that, but you still read. You study to show yourself approved. You study so you have the knowledge, so you can see what God's will is. Because what if you are getting an idea that this is something God wants? If it doesn't line up with his word, then maybe that's some other voice. Maybe that's your voice, or worse yet, maybe it's the voice of the enemy trying to lead you off track. So you need to read to have the knowledge, but then you have to have the understanding of his will, with wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we can start off with James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it'll be given to him. You need wisdom? You feel you're lacking wisdom? Pray to God. He will give it to you. He's not up there doling it out. He wants to give it to you liberally. Just come forth and ask. Like your salvation, you just have to come forward and realize, I don't know it all. I need more help. And he'll pour it out on you. In verse 10, wisdom isn't enough. In verse 10, he tells us that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Like I said, you know the tomatoes doesn't belong in a fruit salad, but have you made a fruit salad for someone in need? I'm not telling you to make some fruit salads and go hand them out, unless that's your ministry. But you understand the point I'm making. You have wisdom. You have knowledge. Have you applied that in a way that benefits your neighbor? Have you applied it in the furtherance of God's kingdom? Have you increased in the knowledge of God? Verse 11, this is Paul's prayer for them. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. This one always gets me, patience and long suffering. We can wait patiently. You go to the doctor's office or the restaurant where the service is slow. You'll wait patiently. You tell yourself, what choice do you have? I have to wait. But are you doing it with long suffering and joy? Are you enjoying that wait? You know, when my daughters were in high school, and I overheard a conversation, gave me this idea to tell them, I was like, you're dating a boy, and you want to see if it's going to be serious. Here's the test. When he asks you one night, what do you want for dinner? Tell him, I want Denny's. What's the one thing that we all know about Denny's, especially if you go in the evening time? No dig on anybody that works at Denny's or if anybody's listening to this. They tend to be a little bit slow. The service isn't always the fastest. And you're not going because they have the best food. All they do is some good sandwiches there. But you're taking this boy there because how he treats that server when they're running slow is going to give you a good indication of how he's going to treat you. If he's sitting there and the time doesn't matter because he's just wanting to speak to you, he's enjoying time with you, he might be worth moving on to the next level. Because he's with joy, long-suffering, because he's enjoying your company. But if he's impatient, if he's, they forgot my fork. Everything's going wrong. And you know what, guys, it can work the same way for you too. You know, I told my sons that too, but it really works well for girls. Are you waiting with joy? Are you enjoying the wait? That's what he's saying. That's what this means. With all patience and long-suffering with joy, are you enjoying the wait? Are you praying for something that you haven't seen yet? You're praying for a family member. Praying for healing. That's a tough one. Fighting kidney stones. How do you fight that and do it with joy? Long-suffering. Enjoying the wait. But that's what he's asking us to do. That's what we're called to do. Because joy isn't dependent on your circumstances. That's happiness. Joy is dependent on, I have a fixed relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, I can have joy. And again, don't look at me. I'm not saying I'm the example of that. I'm pointing to Jesus. This is for me. You guys are just getting to eavesdrop. This is what the Lord's been working with me on. This is what, when I started praying yesterday and went to the Bible, this is the Lord talking to me. So you guys are just hearing it. This is for me as much, if not more so, than you guys. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Again, the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's the contrast. We get to be partakers of that. And who has qualified us? Remember I talked earlier? I'm too bad, or I am good enough. No, you're not. It's God that qualifies us. Thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers. You didn't do it. You weren't good enough. You didn't bring anything to the table. It was Jesus. It was what he did, and that's how God qualified you. He qualifies us. And by doing so, we get to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That means we get to be, he qualifies us, so he's the one that keeps us qualified. We just draw close, learn from him, gain knowledge, gain wisdom, gain understanding. And we don't have to worry about it slipping away. What if I didn't learn enough this week? What if I didn't do, what if I lost my temper? What if I went to Denny's and yelled at the server? Am I lost? No, God qualified you. He's the one that's keeping you qualified. Repent. Return to God. He's there faithfully waiting to forgive you. And then verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son in love. We were part of the world system. We all were. We were part of the fallen world. It was lost with Adam and Eve. When they fell in the garden, all of us are descendants from them. And because of their fallen nature, we have that fallen nature. The only one that didn't was Jesus, because he came from outside humanity. That was part of the Christmas message. You can go back and listen to those. But we are all part of that fallen world system in need of rescue. And he's done that. And that's what I wanted to point out. If you're a Christian, it's not a deliverance that we're waiting for someday. It doesn't say he will deliver you. Your deliverance will come. Someday later, deliverance will arrive. It says there, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. It's done. Are you a Christian here today? Are you saved? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? He has delivered you from the power of darkness. There may be dark things going on in your life. You may still be residing here, but you're delivered from there. That's no longer your residence. So if you want to immigrate to the United States, one of the things you have to do is go to the embassy. And if you were to get, you're in some country, war-torn, ravaged nation, and you've been granted citizenship in the United States, but you're waiting for your transport in the embassy, you're in a dark place. You're still darkness around you, but that little island and embassy, that's the United States in that country. You've been conveyed from that country into the United States. You haven't made it over here yet, but you've been translated. You've been conveyed. You've been transferred from that realm outside those gates to what's inside there. And it may look dark and it may be swirling around, but normally you are at rescue is coming. They're going to get you out of there. But you know what? We've got an even greater promise. We're not waiting on the United States military or the will of some temporary occupant of the White House to come rescue us. We have the deliverance of the Creator of the universe. That regardless of what's going on around us, we each are a small little embassy of heaven here on earth. And so the world may look dark and it's swirling on around us, but you have been delivered. It says there, past tense, has delivered us, completed, finished work. Because Jesus completed that on the cross. That was what the point of the whole, that's the whole point of the cross, that we, it's finished. So whether we're here today and you're not sure what I'm talking about, conveyance, transference, fruit salad, what is he even talking about this last 30 minutes? Come to me while we're eating, before we eat, let's get that figured out. I'd be happy to explain exactly all this to you. But if you're like, no, I've been conveyed, I've been transferred, awesome. Praise God. I hope everybody here is. Because then we can move on to what Paul's talking about. Gaining wisdom, gaining knowledge, gaining power. The power that comes from knowing God's will. Putting that into action. Making an impact in people's lives. Because whether you've been translated into the kingdom of God or not, there's still a unique mission for each and every one of us. God has set aside something unique for you. You might get called up to preach in front of a group of people like this. I never thought that was going to happen. 37 years ago when I came to the front and answered an altar call, I never thought I'd be on this side of it. If you'd have told me that, I never would have come forward. I'll be honest. That was the scariest thing you could have told me back then. Could have told me they were going to send me overseas in the Air Force. I'd have been happier with that than standing up here and speaking. But look what God can do. But whatever it is, you've got talents. You've got skills that you may not even realize that you have, that God's uniquely gifted you with, because there's a mission He has for you. If you haven't been saved yet, get saved. Let's find out what that is. If you have been saved, draw in close to God. Learn to hear His voice spoken to you through the Word. The Word's going to confirm it. Then you spend time in prayer. Spend time with other Christians. Spend time in fellowship. That's the point of our dinner. It's not just so we can break bread together. We all like that. And we got lots of ladies that cook great things. We love to see what they can make. But that's not the point, is so we can break bread together. Spending fellowship time with fellow believers. Because we're a church family. And there's nothing that brings a family together like sharing a meal together. And that's what this is about. And then as you do so, something they say may talk to something in your spirit, and you'll start feeling a calling for something, and you'll be reading it. You'll find verses that confirm it. You know, I've had several times in my life where I feel like the Lord's telling me something, and then every preacher I listen to is telling me the exact same thing. Lewis, I'll turn on a preacher on the way to work. This preacher's saying the same thing. That one's saying the same thing. The same topic, the same point. And it may be, other people may hear something completely different, but I'm getting the same thing. That's the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit. I've had people come up and thank me for saying something that really spoke to them that I didn't have in my notes. I don't remember saying it until I go back to hear the tape. I go, I did say that. But that really spoke to them. That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to use me. And that's the Holy Spirit confirming something that they've probably heard in sermons throughout the week and radio and in their Bible study. They've already been feeling that, and the Holy Spirit confirms it to them. And you get that by spending time in prayer, spending time in His Word, meditating on it. And that's how He's going to communicate with you and reveal that will and give you the knowledge to apply that. Because we all, regardless of who we are, we need to step away from that old identity. That identity from the kingdom of darkness. And we need to step into the light. We need to step into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And fulfill the purpose that you alone are uniquely qualified for. Because God's got so much more for you. Once you start understanding God's will for your life, and once you start seeing what He has for you, you'll want nothing else. What made me get over my fear of public speaking? Because I would never have wanted to do this. The first time I went and spoke to Lewis, it was on a Friday that I told him I felt I was being called, and he said, "Well, when would you like to deliver a message?" And before I could say anything, my wife said, "Sunday." Mary didn't give me a chance to think about it. Thank God for her. Lewis said, "Let's go," because he knew if it was a God thing, it would work. If it wasn't, I would find out real quick. And you just have to do the same thing. And unless everybody needs to go ask Lewis so they can preach, unless the Lord's telling you to. But what is it that the Lord is asking you to do? And it may at first seem scary, but I promise you, if you do it, because I was scared the first time. I probably took 15 minutes to do the whole message. I was nervous and rushed through it. But once I did it, and the nerves were over, and I saw how the Lord can use me, like Lewis can probably tell you, that's once you've done it, you know that's what you're supposed to be doing. And there's something for you that's just as equally as fulfilling. Maybe it's making that fruit salad for a neighbor. Maybe I'm thinking of fruit salad. I hope there's a fruit salad back there. I keep talking about it. Whatever it is, God's uniquely qualified you for. seek that. Draw into that, because that's where you're going to find fulfillment for your life, as you fully operate in God's kingdom and out from the kingdom of darkness. Everybody, that's what the Lord asked me to share with you today. And I thank you for your attention. And we're going to go to the, we're going to give a minute. Anybody wants to come forward to the altar? Anything that you want to pray about, the altar's open for that. If there's, again, like I said, if you aren't sure about salvation, what was he talking about? How does that work? Please, please, seriously, let's get that worked out today, because that's the most important thing. You know, you may think that what goes on out in the world is the most important thing. It's not. There's lots of important things out there in the world, but none of them are as important as where you're going to spend eternity. So please, if that's one of the things is weighing on your mind, let's get that taken care of today. But the altar's open. If anybody has anything they want to pray about, please come forward at this time. Everybody's in the back getting the kitchen ready, so we don't have any music. I apologize for that. But please, come forward at this time. Anybody wants to pray, and we're going to close out. Everybody, let's stand up. Thank you, everybody, for your attention. Thank you for being here. Encourage you, again, plenty of food back there. Encourage you all to stay and break bread with us. We would really enjoy that. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word that you've secured for us. Thank you for taking us out of the kingdom of darkness and putting us into the kingdom of your dear Son. We're thankful for our new citizenship in the heavenly kingdom with you. Father, help us draw close to you, to seek you, to seek your wisdom, to seek your knowledge, to seek your power, and to seek your purpose for our life. We thank you for each and every person present here, Father. We thank you again for the healing that you're sending. We pray again for Brother Lewis and for his kidney stones, that these are going to go away. This is going to be gone. Satan, this attack that you're sending against him is not going to have any success. Your weapon will not prosper. In fact, any weapon you're sending against anyone in this church is not going to prosper. We are rebuking that right now in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we plead the blood over all of us, that any weapon formed against us shall not prosper. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, everybody.